welcome to PreachingAudio.com. If you're encouraged and strengthened by this message today, be sure to tell someone who this message may bless about PreachingAudio.com, or simply share this message by copying it to a CD and giving it to them so they can listen to it at their own leisure. It is always our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you. May it be a source of strength and help for the struggle you may be facing today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this one who may be listening to this message. Let your word be a light unto their pathway as they go through their day and the week ahead. Bless them, Father, with all spiritual blessing is my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Now we take you to the service already in progress. God bless you.
Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. There came an angel of the Lord and said under an oath, which is an oath that pertained unto Joash the Abishite, his son Gideon threshed wheat with a winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, I've read verse 11 through 16 of Judges 6. For a few moments tonight, I'd like to talk to you on these verses. My subject is people who make a difference. People who make a difference. And I believe there are some difference makers in this congregation tonight. And I want our superintendent to come and pray. Would you bow your heads with me, please?
Father, you ministered so powerfully to us last night. We're asking that you would do it again. Quicken your living words to our hearts, that we might leave here, Lord, as doers of the word and not hearers only. Anoint your messenger in a powerful way, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for standing. You may be seated, and God bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Israel, at the time of the reading that I read to you tonight from Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 16, Israel had become a defeated nation. And it was never God's will for his people to live in defeat. It was then, and it is tonight, and always has been God's will for his people to live in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, John said, even our faith. God was looking at this particular time for someone that he could use to make a difference in Israel. God has always looked for men and women that are usable in his service. God has always looked for people that were pliable in his hands, clay, if you please, in the hand of the potter, that God could use, that would make a difference in our situation. And the amazing thing is from Judges chapter 6 that God chose Gideon. When God chooses someone to do a particular job, he knows exactly what he's doing. God chose you to pastor the church that you're pastoring. He knew what he was doing. Even in the good times or the bad times, God is still with you. Whatever God has chosen you to do, he didn't say that it would always be easy, but he did promise to always be with us. You see, in the choosing of Gideon to do this job, if you would look at it from the natural observation, you would say that this was a bad choice. You would say that Gideon was totally unable and incapable of doing this particular job. Gideon was one of the least likely people for God to choose to do a job. But those whom God chooses to do something, he qualifies them to do that task. Amen. Was it not in Ezekiel where God said, I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Gideon was the least likely person to be successful, but I think that oftentimes God likes to choose people that are not fully capable by their own ability, but they are willing to consecrate themselves and their abilities that they do have to God. Then when the victory is won, we can say, not look what this person has done, but we can say, look what the Lord has done. Amen. The Bible tells us that no flesh should glory in His presence. I appreciate the talented people we have in the United Pentecostal Church. We have a lot of people that have a lot of talent. We thank God for every one of them. But talent that is not consecrated to God is very dangerous. I've seen preachers that were tremendously talented in speaking, but they were not consecrated to God, and the end result was not good. I've seen singers and musicians that could sing and play well, but the fact that their singing and music was not consecrated to God meant that the end result was not going to be well. Doesn't matter what talents and abilities you have, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And do it for the glory of God, that no flesh should glory in His presence, so when the result comes, we can all declare, look what the Lord has done. I believe God wants to do a work in the church in this hour. God's looking for men and women and young people that He can work in and work through to fulfill His will. Amen. It's not our will that's important, but it's God's will that's important. It's not our will that counts, it's God's will that counts. And if we can all reach the place tonight that we can pray, Father, not my will, but thine be done, then we are placing ourselves in a position where God can use us. And I can't help but believe that every child of God in this building tonight really wants to be used of God. There's deep down inside of our spirit a desire to be used of God. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But we want God to use us. And I believe that God's ready to use some people in this congregation tonight. I do not believe and do not subscribe to the theory that our best days are behind us. But I believe this is an hour for a move of God. This is an hour for revival. This is an hour when God wants to work through His people. This is an hour when God wants His name to be exalted. This is an hour when God wants to do mighty works among His people. Hallelujah. I don't believe He's brought the church to this end time for the church to just sort of fizzle out, if you please. Praise God. God has raised up the church for this hour, and the Holy Spirit within us makes us more than a match for the power of Satan that's in our world tonight. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that God's on your side? Does anybody believe that if God's on your side, that God plus you is a majority in every situation? For it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not our ability, it's His. It's not our strength, it's His. It's not our power, it's His. It's not in our numbers, but it's in our ability to submit to His Lordship. Hallelujah. I said it's in our ability to submit to His Lordship and say, Jesus, You be the Lord of my life. And wherever You lead me, I'll follow. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you'll notice something about Gideon, in my Southeast Missouri language, I would say that Gideon was a runt. He was a man that you wouldn't pick. He was from a runt family. He was from a runt tribe. If you'll notice the verses that I read to you tonight, that the Bible says that Gideon, in verse 11, was threshing wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. They were oppressed. They were defeated. They were discouraged. But God's not defeated. And God's not discouraged. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord, in this scenario of Judges chapter 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, and this was a remarkable statement, the angel said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, when you read that statement, it's almost funny. Here's an oppressed people, here's a defeated, bedraggled people, and here's an angel of God appearing to a man that's threshing wheat, trying to hide it from his oppressors, and the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. God sees things differently than we see it. God views things differently than we view it. We see ourselves and others see us according to what they can see visibly, but God sees our potential. Hallelujah. I said God sees us not as we are tonight, but God sees our potential. God sees what we can be. God sees what we can become. There's people sitting right here tonight that are great soul winners. Maybe you haven't done it yet, but praise God you're going to do it. Because God is urging you to get right in the middle of His will. Well, somebody say amen. Praise God. And so the angel says, "You're a mighty man of valor." And yet Gideon is hiding. And Gideon said to the angel in verse number 13, and I don't believe he said it just in a low-key way. I don't think he said, "Oh, my Lord." I think he said it with great exclamation. "Oh, my Lord." When the angel called him a mighty man of valor, I think it caught him so off guard that an angel of God would even appear to him and feel that he was entrusted for leadership. And he said, "Oh, my Lord." Then he said, "If the Lord be with us." Now, God's called him a mighty man of valor, and he's saying, "If the Lord be with us, why has all of this befallen us? Why are we in trouble? Why are we facing what we're facing if God is with us?" And he went ahead to say, "And where's the miracles which our fathers told us about?" Hallelujah. When they told us how God brought them out of the land of Egypt to the land of promise. So Gideon is saying, "Is God even with us? Where is God at in all of this? And by the way, where are the miracles?" Praise God. I want to tell you tonight that you cannot seek just for the miracle, but seek for the power of God. I believe the miracles will come. I said, I believe the miracles will come. I've seen people that want to be healed and they still want to live in sin. I've seen people that want the favor and the blessing of God, and they still want to live for the devil. God's looking for somebody that His power can work through, and He can be magnified through them. Praise God. When God does something for you, I think you ought to praise Him for it. I don't care if it's great or small. Whatever God's done, we ought to give Him some praise. We ought to give Him honor. We ought to give Him worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for Pentecostal worship. I said, I thank God for Pentecostal worship. Some people say, just hold it down and be quiet. But Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. Praise God. I hope we never lose our worship. I hope we never lose our hand clapping, the raising of our hands, the shouting hallelujah, the praising God, the running the aisles, the dancing in the Spirit, the speaking in tongues. Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. I said, let's don't lose it. Let's keep worship alive in our churches. Let's keep worship alive in our churches. Clap your hands with me and let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated now. Here's Gideon saying, if the Lord's with us, and Mr. Angel, if the Lord's with us, why are we in trouble like this? If the Lord's with us, where are these miracles? We heard about and we read about it. And we've heard from our forefathers how that Moses came to the sea And he stretched out his rod, and the waters parted hither and thither, and they walked through on dry land. We've heard about those miracles. We've heard about where Pharaoh and his army said, we can do it too. And the devil tries to copy and get as close to what God is doing as he can. He tries to emulate the work of God. But I tell you, what the devil does is a cheap imitation of the real thing. I'm not looking for the imitation. I'm looking for the real thing tonight. Praise God. And so Pharaoh and his army started through. And the Bible says in the book of Psalms that God sent angels out there. And there was water standing up as a heap on either side. And God sent angels and loosened the wheels of the chariots. And the wheels began to fall off. And they were in total disarray. And when it got just the right time, God let the waters come through. And Pharaoh and his army have never been heard from again. And Gideon saying, if God did that for them, then why are we sitting here in such a bad condition? Praise God. Where are the miracles? I want to tell you where they are. They're still through Jesus Christ. They're still in the church. They're still in the church of the living God. Praise God. This is not a dry, dead, cold entity. This is the church. This is the ecclesia. This is the called out. Hallelujah. We're still God's people with God's power and God's purpose. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Pentecostals, let's keep faith alive. Let's keep prayer alive. Let's keep the prayer room alive. Let's keep worship alive. Let's keep God's Word alive. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. You may be seated. And by the way, Mr. Angel, where are these miracles? When they got on the other side and they needed some water. We heard from our forefathers how that Moses spoke to the rock. Or he smote the rock. And water came out enough to take care of all of God's people. Amen. We know that Moses came later and he smote the rock again. And it broke the type. Because that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. And it broke the type. Because Jesus was only smitten one time. And after that, you don't smite him. You speak to him. Hallelujah. It'll be different the next time he comes. My friend Jesus will never be smitten again. He will never have nails in his hands and feet again. There'll never be a spear in his side again. He was smitten one time. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Now then, you don't smite him. You just come to him and speak to him. Hallelujah. And when you speak that name, there's an authority. And there's a power. And there's a dominion. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hey, Mr. Angel, where's the miracles? We haven't seen any rocks yielding water around here for a while. We're in trouble. We're defeated people. We're depressed. We're down and out. Where's the miracles? Amen. And then I want to tell you something else, Mr. Angel, that when God's people, they tell me when they needed some bread, that God gave them manna from heaven. Every day for 40 years. They looked out on the ground and they saw a little round thing like the hoary frost of the dawn. And they said, what is it? That's what they said, Brother Martin. They said, what is it? And that's what manna means. What is it? Praise God. They had what is it for 40 years. Glory to God. What is it for 40 years? 6 days a week it was delivered by angelic delivery. And enough on the sixth day for the seventh day. And Gideon saying, hey, if God's still with us, where's the manna from heaven? Where's the water from the rock? Where's the protection? We're in bondage. We're down here in fear. The enemy's overwhelmed us. Praise God. There's somebody that came to this camp meeting tonight that says, I feel overwhelmed. I don't feel big enough for the task. But I can tell you, the same God that brought them out of Egypt is the same God that can perform miracles for his people tonight. Clap your hands with me and praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there they are. Men are delivered every morning to their tents. Special delivery for 40 years. Manna from heaven. Hallelujah. There was enough manna delivered every day to the Israelites to fill four trains, 60 boxcars long. 240 boxcar loads of manna delivered fresh, baked in heaven's ovens every morning. And delivered fresh to God's people every day. You talk about a God of provision. You talk about a God that can supply needs. Hallelujah. Don't talk about God in the past tense and He used to do it. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I'm the Lord. I don't change. Hallelujah. God can find somebody to believe Him. If God can find somebody to trust Him. If God can find somebody to commit themselves to Him. If God can find somebody to follow Him. I tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that God's power is still the same. And in 2004, He will do it again. I said He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Hallelujah. What about it, Mr. Angel? The Bible says that their clothes grew on their body and the shoes grew on their feet. They never had to go to Walmart. They never had to go to Kmart. Never had to go to JCPenney's at the mall. Praise God. The clothes of the children grew on their body. The shoes grew on their feet. God took care of them. And Gideon's asking an angel, if the Lord is really with us, as you say He is, then why are we in this dire straits? And where's the miracles? But now, here's what his conclusion is in verse 13. But now, the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of Midianites. And God had just got through saying to an angel that you're a mighty man of valor. And the man he's talking to said, God has forsaken us. The man he's talking to says, God's not even with us. Amen. And now then, God didn't leave it up to the angel. In verse 14, in verse 12, the angel speaks. When Gideon responds to the angel, then God takes over. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Question, have not I sent thee? Hallelujah. The angel tried to talk to him. He tried to argue with an angel. And so God came and talked to Gideon. And he said, oh, my Lord. Gideon says it the second time with great exclamation. Oh, my Lord. When God's talking to him, he's just a simple man. He's just a man that lacks courage. He's a man that's defeated in spirit. He's a man that's broken in spirit. But an angel calls him a man of valor. And God says, I'm with you. Oh, hallelujah. And the Bible says, oh, my Lord, in verse 15, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said, surely, here's the difference right here. Surely I will be with thee. Surely I will be with thee. Hallelujah. Church, that's the difference. If we try to fight our battles alone, we cannot succeed. If we try to win victories, we can't make it. We can witness to 100 people. Not one of them will come to church. But brother, if we can get God working for us, we can get in the Spirit and start living in the Spirit and start talking in the Spirit and start walking in the Spirit. We can get God working for us. Brother, let me tell you, God can do more in 1 week than I can do in 50 years. Well, somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now get the picture, if you will. Gideon's nation was threatened by the Midianites. God was looking for someone to lead an army that would conquer the Midianites. Gideon was threshing wheat. And Gideon says, oh, my Lord. And then God talks to Gideon. And Gideon says, oh, my Lord. And then God talks back to Gideon. God did not use Gideon to lead an invasion of the Midianites by himself. It was not Gideon that was going to do the work. It was God that's going to do the work. I get a little fearful of these people that say, well, I prayed for them, and when I prayed for them, they got a healing. heard a man on the radio one night, and he said several people had prayed for this person to be healed, and the person was still sick. But he said, they called me. And when I got there and I laid my hands on them, then they got healing. And I thought as I was listening on that car radio, sir, you've never healed anybody. You've never had any stripes on your back for the healing. Hallelujah. If we can always remember, it is God that does the work. If we can always give praise to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's going to be revival in the church, we're going to have to praise God. If there's going to be a move of God in our churches, there's got to be a praise to God and a glorifying God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like that God wants to send revival to every church in the Hoosier State. Praise God. You can call me a fanatic, but I believe God wants to send it to the large city, to the small town, to the village. It's God's will to send revival. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I said, it's not God's will that any would perish. I'm convinced that God wants to send revival if we can just get self out of the way and get flesh out of the way. The biggest hindrance to a move of God is my flesh. The biggest hindrance to an operation of the Holy Ghost is my flesh. If we can get flesh out of the way, the Holy Ghost can take over. Hallelujah. I said, if we can crucify the flesh, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. I just want to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to stand still and see what God can do. Hallelujah. It's not your hand or mine, it's God's hand. It's not your power or mine, it's God's power. And in Judges chapter 6 and verse, or chapter 7, God saw Gideon as a mighty man of valor. Was he a man of valor? It all depends on whether you go in the past or you go in potential. Gideon had never done anything noteworthy up to this time. He'd never accomplished anything worthwhile up to this time. But now then, God sees the potential that's in him. Nobody else saw Gideon that way, but God saw him. Gideon didn't even see himself as somebody that could do something for God, but God saw him that way. All the crowd saw Gideon as just a small man, but God saw Gideon as a man of valor. God saw his potential. God sees your potential. Hallelujah. I said, God sees your potential tonight, and he wants to work. Praise God. Amen. A little lady in a church in Florida goes to her pastor and says, I want a home Bible study charge, and I want to teach a Bible study. She's 58 years old. And the pastor said, have you ever taught a Bible study? She said, no. But you've been preaching and teaching that I ought to do something for God. I'd like to do something. Amen. So she got her home Bible study chart. She went to her next door neighbor, been living by for years. And she knocked on the door, talked to her a while, and said, I'd like to teach you a Bible study. And you know what the lady said? I've been wondering when you were going to come and invite me to church. Amen. We've been living here for years. I see you and your husband, your children. You get up and you dress so well. You take your Bibles and you go to church. I've been wondering when you was going to invite me to church. And the lady invited her. She didn't go to church right then, but she got a Bible study. And on the fourth lesson, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That gave this little lady some confidence. She said, if I can teach one, I can teach two. And she taught two. And then she taught three. And when I was there that year that she was teaching those Bible studies, she had already won 93 people to God through home Bible studies. You know what I'm saying tonight? God don't see you the way you are. You say, Brother Goddard, I've never won a soul. But you can. You say, I've never done anything for God. But you can. You're not ordained to be a loser. You're ordained to be a winner. I said you're ordained to be a winner. God has got an investment in you. He gave you the Holy Ghost. God's got an investment in you. Hallelujah. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Somebody clap your hands with me and praise the Lord. I said, you're not a loser, you're a winner. Praise God. This little lady was teaching 14 home Bible studies at the same time during the week, during the course of a week. She had never taught a Bible study until she was 58 years old. She had now won 93 people. She's got a goal of 100. I saw her pastor. He said she actually won 107, 108 people to God that year personally. You know what I'm saying tonight? There's one person in this house that can go home from this camp meeting and literally turn your church around. Does anybody believe that tonight? I said one man, one woman, one young person can go home and turn your church upside down with the power of God. I was in New Brunswick last week preaching the camp. They showed me a young lady that had brought 29 brand new people to church as a single girl. 29 new people sitting on church pews because a teenage girl invited them to church. I want to tell you tonight, if you're a teenager, if you're a young married person, if you're middle-aged, if you're a senior citizen, God can use you. Come on, Gideon. It's not you. It's God. It's not what you've done in the past. It's the potential that you have for the future. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, she won souls. She'd never done it before. Teenage boy in Virginia won 91 young people to God as a 17-year-old teenager. I'm just here to tell somebody tonight that your church can be blessed. Your church can have revival. Your church can have, and I'm not suggesting it's not. I'm just saying it can be greater. The church that you're pastoring, Brother Pastor, can have the greatest revival it's ever had. Devil says you might as well quit. The devil says give up. The devil says there's no results. The devil says the prayer rooms are empty. The devil says the baptistry is empty. The devil says there's no worship. The devil says nobody wants God. But God's saying, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. There's men in the jail that want God. There's men in prison that want God. There are people behind bars hungry for God. There's little children in the streets that are hungry for God. Hey, this church has got the answer. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. In Jesus' name. One person said, I've been a dead weight many years around the church's neck. I've let the others carry me and always pay the check. I've had my name upon the rolls for years and years gone by. I've criticized and grumbled too. Nothing could satisfy. I've been a dead weight long enough upon the church's back. Beginning now, I'm going to take a wholly different track. I'm going to pray and pay and work and carry loads instead and not have others carry me like people do the dead. Hallelujah. I don't want somebody to have carry me in the church. Glory to God. I preach a lot of funerals, and most of the funerals I preach, it takes 6 live people to carry 1 dead one. Praise God. Usually it takes about 6 live men to carry 1 dead man. I don't want to be a dead member of the church that it takes 6 people around me to resurrect me or to get me going. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to Indiana tonight. I'm preaching to potential. I'm preaching to somebody that's hungry for God. I'm preaching to somebody that's not satisfied with status quo. Give me just a little bit more monitor. I'm not going to hold you much longer, and I don't want to hurt anybody's ears, but I've got a bad voice. I'm preaching to potential here tonight. I'm not preaching to what you were 10 years ago. I'm preaching about what you can be tomorrow. I'm preaching about what you can do for God next week. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching about what your church has done in the past. It may be 50 years old, but I'm telling you that God's going to send revival to every preacher that hungers after God and thirsts after God, every saint of God that hungers after God and thirst after God. Hallelujah. God's ready to burst open every church and send a revival of unprecedented. Hallelujah. Somebody shout revival. Somebody shout revival. You say, I don't believe in revival. The devil don't either. And hell don't either. But bless God, I believe in it. And I think it's time that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Come on, somebody praise God with me. Somebody worship God with me. There's revival here tonight. There's Holy Ghost power here tonight. There's a fresh anointing here tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel Holy Ghost power here. I feel an unction from the Holy One. God's tapping somebody on the shoulder and saying, it's you. It's you that I'm talking to. You can win souls. You can knock doors. You can bring people to church. You can teach that Sunday school class. You can be used of God. Glory. I feel like telling some pastor tonight, don't go home and resign. Don't go home and retire, but go home and refire. Hallelujah. Pastor, I've got a word from God for you. Don't go home discouraged. Lift up your eyes and say, if God can use Gideon, God can use me. If God can speak out of a burning bush, He can speak through me. If God can speak through Balaam's donkey, He can speak through me. I've got to be available. God sees the potential. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated for a moment. Did you know what God never does? As I observe the scripture, God never goes to the lazy or the idle when He needs someone for His service. When God went to Gideon, He was busy. He was threshing wheat. He was doing something. He wasn't sitting on the sidewalk, whittling with a knife, spitting the back of juice out across the sidewalk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Gideon was busy, and God saw his potential. God doesn't use people that are idle. When God wants a worker, hallelujah, He knows who He's calling. When there's a work to be done, God goes to those that are already working. And when God wants a great servant, He calls a busy person. Hallelujah. Moses was busy with the flock at Horeb. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Gideon was busy threshing wheat by the wine press. Saul was busy searching for his father's lost beast. David was busy caring for his father's sheep. Elisha was busy caring and plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Nehemiah was busy bearing the king's wine cup. Amos was busy following the flock. Peter and Andrew were busy casting their net in the sea. James and John were busy mending the nets. Matthew was busy collecting custom. Luke was busy being a doctor. Saul was busy persecuting the church. And if God can turn that busyness into His direction and channel it in His way, I'm going to tell you, God will turn us as individuals and our churches and our communities upside down. But you know, Brother Goodwin, I don't have talent. I don't have the ability. I'm not a speaker. I'm not an orator. I don't have education or expertise. I don't have the know-how. All God wants is your commitment. God uses ordinary people with ordinary resources to meet extraordinary opportunities and to see extraordinary accomplishments. Hallelujah. You know what is the basis of progress? It's dissatisfaction with the present. That's the basis for progress. Hallelujah. I'm doing good, but I can do better. I've won one soul, but I can win two. Hallelujah. I prayed 10 minutes, but I can pray 20. I said dissatisfaction with the present is the basis of progress. When we become totally satisfied, we become obsolete. Hallelujah. And God's not looking for an obsolete church. He's looking for a church that's anointed by His power. Let me tell you, my dear Christian friend, if your religion does not affect your hands and your feet, then it is not Christianity. I said, if it doesn't affect your hands and your feet, it's not Christianity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no failure equal to that of coming empty-handed out of a right field. But God wants to use every one of us. I said, God wants to use us. You say, Pastor, I can't be used. But yes, you can. So if you thought about going home and resigning your Sunday school class, don't do it. I got to work for the Lord. If you thought about going home and saying, nothing I can do for God. I pastored a man years ago. He's dead now. Been dead a long time. He came to me one year, and he said, I was a young pastor, and he said, why can't you be satisfied? And I said, what are you talking about? He was there when we started in the storefront in a little building many years ago. And when we didn't have a soul, I mean not one. I mean not even a wife. Praise God. And I prayed and God gave me a wife. So then my congregation doubled overnight. God gave me a wife. And so now we're twice as many as we were. I've been to church many times in that storefront and not one person came. Not one. Not the first one. What'd you do? I'd just pray for an hour or so, lock the door, turn off the lights, say, praise God, I'll try it again next time. Hallelujah. You cannot accept defeat. You cannot accept discouragement. I'm telling somebody tonight that's in the throes of discouragement, rise up and say, God, I believe in you. I believe in your power. I may not have done everything I could do, but thank God you haven't given up on me. My God, you see my potential. You see what I can be. Somebody shout hallelujah. And you may be seated. So I put a little sign up on the wall. It said 10. 10 church. We had 2. And we're going for 10. And we kept working. One day we had 10. When they came back that Sunday night, I had 25 up on the wall. Amen. You got to keep somebody, it's people guessing, you know. What's that 25 for? That's what our goal is now. That's what we're shooting for. Praise God. And after a while, in several weeks, we had 25. When they came back to church that night, I had 50 up on the wall. Amen. And we finally reached 50. And then when we reached 50, I put 100 upon the wall. And this man came to me and he said, why aren't you ever satisfied? I said, let me tell you, sir, as long as there's one lost soul in this city, I will never be satisfied. As long as there's one soul lost without Jesus Christ in your city, you need to not be satisfied. But let a divine dissatisfaction and a divine discontentment stir your spirit. We need a restless spirit tonight, not against God. Hallelujah. Not against the church. But oh God, we need to be divinely discontented and say, God, there's still more land to be possessed. There's still something to be done. Somebody clap your hands. And you know what that man said? He said to me, he said, I'm going to do less for God next year than I did this year. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to do less for God this year than I did last year. He said, I'm going to give less this year than I gave last year. I said, really? I said, why is that? He said, I just don't want to, you know, we got a few nice people here. He was satisfied with a handful of sweet folks just sitting around and go through the motions of having church. And I said, I can't be satisfied with that. I said, I can't be satisfied. We need some preachers in this house that's not satisfied. If you've got 100, there's 200. If you've got 200, there's 300. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've got 25, go for 50. If you say you're in the numbers game. Praise God, everything I read about in the Bible has got numbers attached to it. Everything about in the Bible, it talks about numbers. How do you know there was about 120? Somebody must have counted them. How do you know there's 12 apostles? How do you know there's 12 tribes of Israel? I could go on and on. How'd they know that there was about 3,000? Somebody must have counted. Been a pretty good estimator one. How'd they know there was about 5,000? And then there was great multitudes. I'm going to tell you, if our motive is right, we ought to reach for every soul we can. Because every number represents a soul. And every soul is precious. And every soul Jesus died for. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said every soul is precious. Every man is precious. Every woman, child is precious in the sight of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching tonight? A little 8-year old boy looked at me recently, came in on a bus route, and I told him, I put my arm around him, and I said, hey, buddy, I love you. He said, do you really? He looked up in my eyes, and I said, yes, I do. And he said, you know what, mister? He said, you're the first person that's ever told me that in my life. He said, nobody has ever told me they love me. And I thought, how many kids are there like that out there? You say, I don't want to mess up my pretty church. I'm going to tell you, I've never had a car too good to bring somebody in. Hallelujah. Pick up somebody for church. I've never seen a church building that was too nice to bring them in. You know what? If Jesus was here, you know what he'd be saying tonight? Go in the highways and the hedges and the byways and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. He said the poor have the gospel preached. We need to go to the streets and the lanes of the city, the highways, the ghettos. I don't care what the world says. It's time for the church to mobilize for action and not let somebody else do it. It's time for God's people to rise up and say, we can do it by the power of God. 13 to 14-year-old girl came on our bus several weeks ago. She caused a lot of trouble. Ushers had talked to her. And she was cursing. And that's the kind of world she came in out of. And bus captain said, I can't bring her back anymore because she's creating dissension. I was in my office Saturday week ago. This little girl named Jennifer called me. She's either 13 or 14. And she says, this pastor go there? And I said, it is. She said, Pastor, my name's Jennifer. I said, yeah. The ushers had done told me about her. She said, I want to know if you'd let me come to church. And I said, Jennifer, I began to talk to her. Began to talk to her about the need of God. And she said, I've been staying home from church. And she said, I've even tried some other churches. But she said, there's no church like that church. And I want to know if I can come back. I talked to her a good while, prayed with her on the phone. I said, if you come back, you're going to do the right thing. And I talked to her a while. She said, yes, she would. The next day she came to church, sat there like a perfect lady. Hallelujah. I couldn't help but figure out, I imagine how many Jennifers are out there tonight. Praise God. I don't care what their past has been. A lot of them are raised up in homes of drugs and alcohol and all types of mental and physical abuse. Hallelujah. But God's raising up people out of the darkness of this world to shine. Hallelujah. Can you get the vision, young man? Can you catch it, young lady? Hallelujah. You will never see revival in a comfortable church. And I pray that God will move us and shake us and stir us. Oh, somebody praise the Lord with me. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm fixing to close, but God's talking to somebody's heart. You can make a difference. You can be a difference maker. God uses unlikely people to glorify His name and to get His work done. You have the capacity to choose what you think about. If you sit here and choose to think about past hurts, you're going to continue to hurt and feel bad. And while it's true that you cannot change the effects of past influences and what they've done had on you, you can change the effect that they have on you now and for the future. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that's a difference maker. You just hadn't done it yet, but God's ready to work in you. I said, God's ready to work in you. I said, God's ready to work in you. Oh, hallelujah. How does a person make a difference? The history of the world is simply a chronicle of the deeds of a small number of ordinary people who had extraordinary levels of commitment. These individuals who had the power to make a meaningful difference in the quality of others' lives. Hallelujah. I'm talking to some people like that on the campground tonight. I'm talking to some difference makers. I'm talking to some unlikely people. I'm preaching to people tonight that says, I can't sing. I can't play like Brother Horsley. I can't sing like these praise singers. Well, I got good news for you. You don't have to sing like these folks. God wants you in His kingdom. You don't have to play like Brother Dwayne Horsley. You can do something for God. Hallelujah. Let's get up. Let's rise up. Let's be about our Father's business. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You say, well, one person can't make a difference. Yes, they can. You say, I'm too insignificant or small. You think you're too small to make a difference. You've never been in bed with a mosquito. I said, if you think you're too small to make a difference, I was raised on a farm. I was raised before air conditioners. I was raised before comforts and luxury. I was raised when you didn't have any ways to keep the mosquitoes out. And if you think you're too small to make a difference, you've never been in bed with a mosquito, but I've been in bed with mosquitoes. Praise God. And one of those little fellas can make a big difference in your night. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to some men and women, young people tonight that are difference makers. Hallelujah. You were not the most popular in school, but God's able to use you. You were not the most athletic, but God can use you. Your grades were not the best, but God can use you. You were the last one picked on the team, but God can use you. You don't think much of yourself, but God can use you. Your self-esteem is down, but God can use you. You don't see your potential, but God sees it. Hallelujah. You don't see where you can do anything for God, but I'm here tonight with a simple message to tell somebody that God wants to use you. And if you believe that, lift up your hands and praise Him. Oh. Hey, Pastor, you can make a difference. Hey, pastor's wife, you can make a difference. Hey, brother evangelist, you can make a difference. Hey, preacher's kid, you can make a difference. Hey, young person, you can make a difference. Hey, bus captain or bus worker or bus driver, you can make a difference. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you can make a difference. Hey, door knocker, you can make a difference. Hey, visitation worker, you can make a difference. Hey, you that go to the rest home, you can make a difference. Hallelujah. We got a man that goes to rest home. He started there with about 8 or 10 coming, and last Sunday he had 50-something people, and he's seen some people lift their hands in the sunset years of their life, and God filled them with the Holy Ghost, and He brought them to church, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. Hey, jail worker, you can make a difference. Hey, prison worker, you can make a difference. Hey, home Bible study teacher, you can make a difference. I'm here to tell somebody tonight that God sees your potential.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com. If you would like to find a Spirit-filled church where lives are transformed in your area, I encourage you to email us today at churches@preachitaudio.com. Let us know the city and state you live in, and we will reply back to you very quickly to direct you to the church in your area where you will receive the strength you need for your life today, and where you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.